Greetings. This is news and a view from the Gunflint Trail. Since our last WTIP gathering, Gunflint Country has experienced days of calm and peace. These halcyon segments have found this territory in partial winter mode, absent one half of our winter character. The upper trail endured a good dose of cold for several days, but we've been devoid of snow. Don't take me wrong, we have snow. However, barely a few flurries have been added. To expand upon the cold feature of our atmospheric goings-on, some nights of well below zero in this neighborhood prompted real ice-making on the Gunflint. After a sputtering try at freezing a week ago, she got right after it on the night and morning of December 6th and 7th. There was no messing around this time. By morning on the 7th, I could see from the house water was still along the shore, but had no idea hard water would consume the entire surface in such a few hours. It sometimes takes all day down here at Mid-Lake and on to the east. This ice-on date is somewhat early, as the average over the time we've lived here is nearer mid-month. My records go back as far as 1982, and the earliest freeze of Gunflint Lake since then was on November 26, 1996. So 2018 is some 2 weeks off any contemporary record. By the way, the Gunflint Lake cousin, Seagull, froze on November 20th, according to folks along those shores. It's funny how conditions and locale can vary so much in just 10 or 12 miles. The next night was about equally as cold around here, and the old gal uttered her first commentary of the season. It was a screech like always, but one has no way of knowing whether her outcry was in delight of a new coat or pain from an ill fit. Whatever the case, we can now start building depth for those ice anglers come January. A day in the winter woods seems to never be without an animal adventure of some sort. A few days ago, the Smiths spotted one of our many pineys, martens that is, bounding over the snow toward our place. We watched it making its way up onto our deck and heading for the snack shack. As it was about to stick its head in the little box for a treasure, something up in the trees was spotted, spooking the furry critter. Checking the skies carefully for a few moments, one could see the martin's wheels a-turning, when a decision was made to grab a bite and make a run for it. While grabbing the poultry part, another alarm from above startled the furry one. This caused a nanosecond memory lapse where it let go of the treat. The first of two oddities popped right before our eyes. The morsel of fowl dropped barely a few centimeters from the jaws, and quick as lightning, the critter caught it, mid-air, mind you. Oh, it was so nimble and quick. In awe of this awesome catch, wonder number two captured us. In a flash, Mr. Martin shot across the deck, took a leap to a nearby tree, and literally flew down to the ground at what looked to be supersonic speed. On the ground, it screamed over the crusty snow into a brushy thicket out of view. This riveting scene then took on another twist. During this sprint, we observed a flight of blue jays zooming not far above the martin's pathway to wherever. They, too, were soon lost from view. One can only surmise these jaybirds were the ones kindling the martin's first treetop alert. After all, how did it know this was not a hungry eagle or a craving owl hovering overhead? After the melee, I assumed the blues were following Piney in case this ration of fast food was dropped, whereby they would get a crack at it. They're pretty cagey about pilfering others' possessions. Except for disappearing into the woods, this chapter of our natural world novel has no ending. The beat goes on. Predator prey, survival of the fittest, fastest and craftiest. For WTIP, this is Wildersmith on the Gunflint Trail, where every day is great, with a shout-out for Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.